الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of my faith, which is Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, you can call your family members and let them know the same. Please make sure you have your Quran near you, or paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes and keeping track of what we talked about or what we studied in this particular class. By the way, those of you who have been attending the weekly, this is weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners to, and also new students to our particular class, and welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class, and hope that you will tune in every week for our class. Today's topic, I'm going to talk a little bit about death from the Islamic perspective. I talked about this before in other episodes, and also talk about wills, W-I-L-L-S, wills, basically also from an Islamic perspective. And so let's start off with, let's talk about death. You're going to turn to chapter 29, verse 57 in the Quran. Chapter 29, verse 57, and it says, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, thumma ilayna turja'un." Every soul would taste death, then to us you will all be returned. And again, that's in chapter 29, verse 57. Additionally, in another chapter and verse, which is chapter 4, verse 78. Again, chapter 4, verse 78. I know it's going to take you a little while to get there, but you'll be able to get there. And for those of you who may not have a Quran near you, you can also go to Quran.com, Quran.com, and they have Quran there, and it's pretty quick. You can go ahead to chapter 4 and verse 78 and sort of follow along with me. If you don't have your personal one, the book in your home that you could have on a shelf or something like that, you could pull off the shelf or put out your bag and be able to open it up and read it. So I just wanted to let you know that little bit of information. And it says, wherever you may be, death will overcome you, even if you are in a fortified towers. Again, wherever you may be, death will overcome you, even if you were in fortified towers. Now let me kind of give you a little story, and it doesn't really come from Quran or come from the Hadith or saying the Prophet, peace and blessing upon him. It's just a story to tell them, put more emphasis on what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, no matter where you go or what you do, you could be in a tower, or you can be in a fort with a bunch of guards around you. Still, death will come to you, and it will find you, no matter where you, also meaning myself. And the story goes like this. There was a man who saw a friend of his in the market, and the man had some bags in his hand, and he was talking to his friend, and the man looked at another individual in the market, and he just, in the middle of the conversation, he just dropped his bags and just took off and left his friend standing there. And then it's friend like scratching his head and wondering why, what just happened? And then he saw who this friend was talking to, so he went over to the individual and he told the story to him. And then he told the story about the about his friend, haven't seen his friend in a while. The friend dropped, saw you, meaning the individual, and dropped his bags and said that he's leaving and going to New York, for example. Everyone pretty much know New York City in America. And so he's going to New York. And that's like from where I am, I say it's about three hour ride or so to get for about 200 miles or so to get from where I am to New York City. And so, because the person he was talking to, he said, yeah, he responded. He said, yeah, I saw your friend here, and I know that in about 2 to 3 hours or so, I'm supposed to take his soul. I was wondering, why is he here? I'm going to take his soul in 2 or 3 hours in New York. And so sometimes we could think that we're running from death, and we end up running to our death because that is the place and the time where we're supposed to die. You're supposed to die 3 hours from now in such and such a place. You're going to be in that place, and that's the place that you're going to die in the manner in which you're going to die. And when I say you, I'm also, of course, talking to myself. It's like a man on top of a ladder. Most of us have ladders. Are you on top of a ladder or top of a building, and he falls off the ladder or fall out the building, the high part of the building. But he doesn't die. And so the man's happy about that because he did not die. He fell all the way down, hit the ground, and didn't die. So the man was going across the street to the store to buy something to celebrate his sort of victory over death, that because he didn't die. And on his way to the store, he got hit by a car, or hit by a train, or hit by a bus. That is the time and the form in which he was supposed to die, and not for falling off that ladder or falling from that high building. So all of our time and our place of when we're going to die is going to take place. Every soul will have a taste of death, and then we return to, and we all return to Allah. We just don't know where or when or how we're going to die, but for sure that each and every one of us are going to die. And I want you also to look at chapter 63, verse 8. Again, chapter 63, verse 8, and it says, "Tell them, the death from which you are running away will surely overtake you. Then you will be sent back to him who knows the unseen and the seen. And he will tell you all that you have done." So we think we're going to run away from death. We won't be able to do so. This again, chapter 62, verse 8. And we're running to death. We can't run away from it. We run into it. And it will overtake us. And we return back to Allah, who knows the seen, and he also knows the unseen. And he will tell you all that you have been doing. And he knows all that we've been doing. Because Allah can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So you certainly can see anything that we do, no matter how much we try to hide it from other people. Allah sees it. Allah knows about it, and we have to be accountable for it. Now you say, okay, Imam, you said all that. I understand. We're gonna die. We can't hide from death. I understand all that. But who causes death? Who is the one that causes death? So I'm going to answer that question using Quran. So turn to chapter 10, verse 105. Go ahead. I'm going to try to wait for you. Chapter 10, verse 104. Getting a little bit ahead of myself. Again, chapter 10, verse 104. And it says, because we're going to talk about who causes death. Say, O people, doubt my deen, meaning my religion, if you will, but never will I worship those that you worship besides Allah. I worship Allah who has the power to cause your death, and I am commanded to be one of the believers. So this, in this very short verse, it says what? That Allah has the power to cause death. He is the one to cause death. And I am commanded to be a believer and to believe in Allah and to worship Allah and to worship nothing else but Allah. Nothing that we may be as man made with our hands, meaning out of stone, out of wood, out of ceramics, wherever way we make things, plaster, wherever we make things or paint it, and then we start worshiping it. What kind of foolishness is this? I just made this thing. I went to the store. I bought the material, and then I shaped this thing, and now I'm going to ask this thing I just shaped and I just made in this, and bought from the store, and I just made with my hands. I'm going to ask me to grant me more money, or grant me this, or grant me that. This thing has no ability to do anything like that. We worship the Creator, not the creation. And the one that created everything is Allah Almighty. It's just me, Almighty God. Nothing like a God for the Muslims and a God for the this person and that person. No, it's not. It's not like that. All the Muslims worship a different God. It's not like that at all. We worship a God that created all that we see and all that we don't see. The stars, the sky, you name it, the earth, whatever. I don't go on and on. You know what I'm talking about. Those are the things that we don't worship. We worship the ones that created, the one that created all these things. And that is Allah. He's the one that made the sun rise from the east and set in the west. Is a person think that they're mighty as Allah? Then okay, then you make the sun rise from the west and set in the east. If you have all that power. Allah is the only one that has the power to do something like that. That has the sun rise on one side on the east, and then it sets in the west. Allah has that power, and not man does not have that power. Now let's get to wills. Now, throughout the world, we are experiencing a pandemic, epidemic, coronavirus, and all the different variations of coronavirus. And we, in many of our countries, we are basically doing two things, or really three things. We're taking shots. We're social distancing from each other in most places, 6 feet, 3 feet, whatever. And also the third thing, we are wearing masks on our faces. Probably no place you go in the world, person don't have a mask on their face to keep catching the virus from someone else. And so my question to you is, if we can't be mandated to wear masks, then we as Muslims are mandated by the Prophet Muhammad to do the following. And what is that? That is the Muslim man, and when I say Muslim man, I'm also called to talk about Muslim women. The Muslim man has no right to spend two nights. If he has something for which a will should be made without having a written will with him. We should not go two nights without having a will written. So you may say, ma'am, I don't have anything. I'm a poor person. I don't have any money, any house, or anything. Don't own anything. Well, then you have a life. You listen to me. Then you do have something. You have a life. And so you have to instruct your family on what to do with you when you no longer have a life. By writing a will, that's for Muslim and also you all who are non-Muslim. You are helping or instructing the ones who survive after you not be disorganized regarding what to do with you. What to do with your affairs. You telling them in your will, okay, this is what you do with me, and this is what you do with my affairs, or whatever it may be. You're giving them instruction after you die. And you can do this. You should do this. I emphasize to Muslims all the time, this is something that you have to do because it's mandated that we don't go two nights without writing a will. If we don't know how to do it, we have someone write the will for us. We go online and see wills and just fill it in and print it out. But we all should have a will. Tell people what to do with our bodies, what to do with our property, whatever it may be that we may have. Even sometimes what to do with the children, the young children that we may have. Who's going to care for the children? And so these are very important things that this is for Muslim and for non-Muslim that we should do, which is write a will. Now, I want to relay something to you from Abu Huraira, which is one of the Prophet's companions, and what he said regarding the will that the Prophet Muhammad, that he said. And this is something to please keep in mind. And that is, a man may do the deeds of the people of goodness for 70 years, even 70 years. Then when he makes his will, he is unjust in his will. So he ends his life with evil deeds and enters hell. A man may do the people of evil for 70 years. Or maybe one of the people of an evil person for 70 years. And so his life ends in good. Why? Because he puts in his will good deeds or good things to do or to give to to the people. And so he ends up in paradise. And so I want to mention something to you, because in Islam, and I read a little bit about this later on, and that is, we're supposed to leave a certain portion to this person. We can't say, I'm going to leave one third for this person, or I get mad at this person, I'm no longer leave one third for them, I'm cutting them out of my will. We can't do that from the Muslim standpoint. We can't cut someone out of our will or leave our money to an animal or to someone like that, because everyone has a right. Your family has a right over you that you leave, particularly your Muslim, that you leave a certain portion of what you have left for them. First, of course, they bury you. They make sure that your burial is taken care of. And if you have anything left over, they take care of your debts, so you don't go on a day of judgment with debts. And then, of course, then they get their piece or whatever is left of your estate. Now, killing for inheritance is that legal in Islam. The murderer, it says, Prophet Muhammad says, the murderer will not inherit. And he also said the killer does not inherit. And so that's Islam. If you kill somebody, you don't inherit from that person. You murder somebody, you do not inherit from that person. That, again, is Islam. I want to go further with this and say again, one of the Prophet's companions, and peace and blessings be upon him, he said, and this was Abdullah Ibn, or son of Amr, he said, a woman inherits from the blood money and wealth of her husband, and he inherits from her blood money and wealth, so long as one of them did not kill the other. If one of them killed the other deliberately, then he or she inherits nothing from the blood money or wealth. But if one of them killed the other by mistake, he or she inherits from the other's wealth, but not from the blood money. So I hope y'all understand. I know there's a lot going on there. If you don't kill a person, you inherit their husband and wife, you inherit their blood money, and also you inherit their wealth. If you kill them, you meant to kill them, then you don't get the blood money or the wealth. But if you kill them by mistake, of course, you inherit their wealth, but you do not inherit the blood money. And you can go over this particular episode again in case that's a little bit confusing to you, so you understand what Islam says in regards to a person inherit and not inherit, a wife inheriting from her husband and a husband inheriting from the wife. But either one kills the other, you don't get anything from that. Nothing whatsoever. And so Islam, we have certain inheritance percentage. Well, I'm not going to get into because that is a class. But I'm going to mention something that Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, or it was said, a man said, I became sick during a year of the conquest and was at death's door. And the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, came to visit me. And I said, O Messenger of Allah, I have a great deal of wealth, and no one will inherit from me apart from my daughter. Can I give 2/3 of my wealth in charity? He said, no. I said, then half? He said, no. I said, 1/3? He said, 1/3, and 1/3 is a lot. If you leave your heirs rich, that is better than leaving them destitute and begging from people. And so we see from this, my students, is that we can't leave our family without anything. We can't do that. Islam already dictates how much they get. And you can't cut them out, no matter how mad you are. I'm not talking to this one, or he made me mad, or something like that. Whatever, you can't do that. We can't do that, and we don't want to leave our family, or maybe you want to get even with your family. Say, okay, I'm not leaving anything, and let them see what it feels like to be out there struggling on their own. We can't do that. You can't leave them destitute and poor like that and begging from people when they have a right to inherit from you, and you have to respect their rights and give them what is due to them. Now, suppose a person dies without a will. What happens in that particular situation? And I have one of them for the father and one for the mother. And it was said, Abu Huraira, he said, my father died and left behind wealth, but he did not make a will. Will it expiate for him if I gave charity? Meaning, would it get on his behalf? He said, yes. So he said, it's for the messenger. My father, he died. He left behind wealth. Suppose I give his wealth in his name. I donate whatever amount of money, what is in his name. Will he benefit from it? And basically, would he benefit from this thing that I give on his behalf? And the Prophet Muhammad, he said, yes. He will benefit from it if you plant a tree for him, or if you gave some money to a particular charity for him. And yes, he will benefit from it, although he is in his grave and he had no will. It's a same situation for a woman and another, saying of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him. A mother died, and a lady said, my mother died unexpectedly, and she had not made a will. I think that if she could have spoken, she would have given in charity. Will she have a reward if I gave charity on her behalf? And will I have a reward? He said, yes. Not only will your mother have a reward, and she's dead, for you giving in charity, you will also have a reward, for giving in charity. So this is very, 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 very beautiful thing. Your parents died. Your Muslim parents died. It's not too late for them. You give in charity in their name, and they benefit from it. You get charity in their name, and their name it expedites it, get rid of maybe some of the sins that they committed that you know about or you don't know about. Because you gave in charity, Allah may forgive them for any wrongdoing that they've done. Now, we as Muslims, we can inherit them from others that do not have faith like ours. The message of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. He said regarding this, he said, the people of two religions do not inherit from each other. So I can't inherit from a person who, from my family, so my family are not Muslim, and they cannot and not inherit from me. So I just wanted to mention those things, and a lot of this you can go to other scholars and get up other information about what I'm talking about, and you may have some scholars say something different than what I'm saying. And that's okay. They can show their proof, and then you follow. Then you make a decision which one you want to follow and which one you want to do. Because you have a choice to follow what I'm saying, follow what they're saying, or don't follow anything at all. That is your choice. But you're gonna have to answer for whatever decision that you make. Also, we are forbidden from doing what? We are forbidden from selling inheritance or giving it away. That's one of the things we're forbidden. I can't say, okay, I'm inheriting so whatever it is, that I said, okay, who's going to give me the best price for this thing that I'm inheriting? Okay, you're going to give me $2,000. Okay, you over here, you'll give me $3,000 for it. You'll give me $4,000. You'll give me $5,000. I can't do that. I can't go and try to sell or say, okay, this inheritance is for sale. I'm not allowed to do that according to Islam. So I want to mention a few things that should be in the will of a Muslim. First of all, his executor, meaning the person who's going to oversee his estate. This person should be an adult Muslim. They should be sane. They should be fair in their dealings and be honest. Also, they should have a taqwa or be a pious person and have knowledge about the rules and regulations about wills and inheritance. They should be fair and a just person and not say, okay, I never liked this person who they left the money for, so I'm not giving them anything. Or I like you a little bit more, so I'm going to give you a little bit of some of their inheritance and your inheritance. Excuse me. they can't do that. They have to be just, and they have to be fair, and they have to understand to be a sane Muslim and all the things that I mentioned. Now, you can go to various verses in Quran and find out what the shares are. And these are coming from chapter 4. So you go to chapter 4. Verses 11 through 12 to find out about the share and the breakdown of shares, and also chapter 4 verse 176, again chapter 4 verse 176, and you can also again find out about shares. And so these are just some of the things I just want to mention to you. You can look it up for yourself. I give that for your homework, to look up the shares that a Muslim gets in terms of their will. I can't change that in any way. I can't add anyone on it or take anything away from what's on what Allah says and what the Prophet Muhammad says pertaining to shares or wills. You have been listening to the Islamic Faith in Focus, and you want information about what I'm talking about, you can always go to Why Islam. You can also go to the various universities, such as the International Online University or American Open University, to find out more information about Islam and learn more about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.